All right, Savannah.
Okay. Hi, thanks everyone for sticking it out and being what appears to be very awake after having some very yummy lunch. I wanted to thank Rachel, too, for all the organizing you did. As someone who has been in your position, you know, in another life, I know it's quite a bit of work. And we all got, the fact that we all got here and everything has been running smoothly, I think speaks to the work that you did. So I wanted to sort of acknowledge you on that. That's also the feminist in me that always likes to acknowledge the work that women do. So
it's in her
thank
paper,
you.
Actually.
It's in my paper. I'm going to talk a little bit about my work, but before I do that, I want to speak a little bit about what we're trying to do at UC Santa Cruz and sort of why, when we got the call for this colloquium, we became interested in it immediately. So what we're trying to basically launch at Santa Cruz eventually, you know, in the midst of this budget situation, is essentially an interdisciplinary initiative on human rights. And so there's a group of feminist scholars, of which I'm a part, that have come together to start thinking about what would an interdisciplinary initiative on human rights look like. As I'm hearing, you know, here throughout the day, clearly it's striking to me that we haven't thought about history, so we need to find somebody, some faculty in history, to join our conversation. But we've identified and are working with faculty in sociology, education, in my department, which is Latin American and Latino studies, feminist studies, psychology, a range of disciplines that we're trying to sort of come together and think about the ways our unique disciplines approach the subject of human rights as both, you know, as an intellectual project and in some cases as a political project. And we are rooting our work specifically within the Americas region because I think there's something to be said about sort of targeting our intellectual focus and our projects and tying them in that way so that we can kind of do some comparative, eventually some comparative work down the road. And communication. We have people in communication also as well. So part of what I wanted to talk a little bit about today is some of the work that I've been doing as sort of part in conversation with some of my other colleagues at UC Santa Cruz. My research looks at the intersection, essentially, of anti-racism and feminism. And what I mean by that is my research looks at different feminist actors who are targeting their efforts in UN forums against racism. There's obviously a very rich scholarship on the work that women are doing and have done in the UN conferences, for example, the World Conferences on Women, or within CEDAW, the Convention to Eliminate Discrimination Against Women. But I really wanted to pivot the conversation towards CERD, which is the Committee to Eliminate Racial Discrimination. I wanted to pivot the conversation to look at what women were doing at the World Conferences Against Racism, et cetera. So as I was starting to do this early on in my research, it becomes very clear that a completely different set of actors, feminist actors in particular, emerge in these settings, typically much smaller collective of women. And because we're interested in developing an America's approach and also because of my own sort of interests, really wanting to unpack a bit more the particular Latin American approach to human rights, which is often gets, scholars have sort of talked about, often gets sort of mistakenly lumped into kind of a Western discourse of rights. When we look at the contributions from Latin America, they're much more kind of similar to the Indonesian case in terms of being a much more a richer understanding or a more complicated or holistic understanding is also kind of how I write about it. The other reason why I was interested in looking at UN forums against racism is because of the ways that largely men's experiences have been privileged in that setting. And the fact that things have shifted so much in the past 10 years in those forums, and you know, starting in some respects or with the 2001 conference in Durban, we start seeing that that these global venues centered on issues of race and racism have enabled feminists to reclaim human rights discourse and even sort of frameworks to really push back on claims of gender neutrality. Because often what you would often what the records show, particularly in these forums, is, for example, the Committee to Eliminate Racial Discrimination would say, well, we don't deal with gender, we're gender neutral. Feminist scholars have shown there's still an implicit gender dynamic going on, even if you want to say that you're neutral. There's neutrality is a very hard thing to actually, in fact, do. So, So I was fascinated by that. And then the UN, as we all know, is a very male-dominated institution. Any of us who've been to the UN, any of us have sat on UN, you know, committee meetings or whatnot, it's a very male-dominated institution. But yet, at the same time, women have been able to make some very fascinating inroads around, for example, having issues of reproductive justice now viewed as a racial justice matter. And this is a pretty significant shift in the work that, for instance, the Committee to Eliminate Racial Discrimination was doing, and also what came out of some of the world conferences against racism. So I thought, because I'm talking to a mostly an audience of historians, I should talk a little bit about some of the work I did last summer going through the what I talk about in the paper, the archives for the UN Conference on International Organization. So if anybody ever feels like they are need to read something to put them to sleep, I would suggest going to Berkeley and reading these archives, because they're a bit dense, but nonetheless, there's still a rich narrative to unpack, and that's what I was trying to do with my work. Not that I ever fell asleep in the library, but, you know, it did put me, did make me a little bit groggy at times. One of the things that, you know, as you know, most of you know, that came out of the Dumbarton Oaks proposals and the UN Charter and whatnot, one of the things that was very striking to me as I was going through the archives were the ways that Latin American governments in particular were really pushing back against sort of the quote-unquote great powers at the time of the conference, or the sponsoring governments. And so it caught a lot of, in particular, some of the U.S. delegates off guard. They hadn't sort of expected the Latin American governments to do as much pushback as they were doing. They didn't even like the word UN. You know, they were challenging even calling an organization that we know now as the UN. They didn't even like that term, because they felt it wasn't sort of expressing a notion of plurality, which is what they were hoping to do.